You're listening to The Point. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. While many of us won't be thinking about planting for at least a month, others have already started sowing the seeds for this season's flower and vegetable crops. And joining us to discuss indoor seed germination is Jen Irving from Jenny's Edibles and Blooms. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Mindy. Good morning.
You've already gotten your hands into soil this season, so what have you currently started? What are you working on?
At this point in the season, we're mostly some of the more finicky things I've started. So a lot of things that you start early, sometimes they need to be cold stratified to sort of break the period of dormancy. Mm-hmm. Maybe about a month or a month and a half ago, I started cycling things into my freezer and refrigerator. And I have in there, I have some blackberry lilies. I have some strawberries. I have a couple of different varieties of actually some perennials, some perennial wildflowers. One new variety that I'm doing this year, a purple prairie flower that starts really early. So
how long do you have to germinate? Put them in the cold. Is it different for different plants?
It is different for different plants, and I am a huge fan of sort of doing my homework before I get started with a new variety. But I would say on average, maybe, anywhere from a minimum of 3 weeks to some things recommend up to 2 months.
Really? All right. So I got some milkweed seeds from a friend of mine because I want the milkweed for the butterflies. And I was going to plant it in the fall, but of course didn't get around to it. So how long do I need to put that in?
I'm not sure particularly about milkweed, but I would say probably maybe 3 weeks.
Okay.
Would be
so
my
I better
guess.
Get it in the refrigerator soon, right? All right. So why did you decide to do your own seedlings? I mean, that's a lot of work,
Yeah, it sort of happened by accident. I used to spend a lot of time at sea, and one of the things that I missed was having the opportunity to, have my own garden and be on land year round and watch the seasons go by. And so, I wanted the opportunity to try my hand in it, and I think I started like a lot of home gardeners do. You just sort of make it up as you go along.
Right.
And, I started with one grow light and that evolved over the years. And invariably you start too many plants because, a lot of seed packets come with a bazillion seeds in. And so invariably you start too many, you give those to your friends, and then your friends are pretty excited, and then your friends want more. And, and sort of this cycle goes on. And then once you start having some success with it, you get enticed by all the different varieties in the seed catalogs, and it's hard to control yourself.
I got an email. It says, planted zinnia seeds in peat pots, and now all are about an inch high. Do I leave in peat pots until no danger of frost and then transplant them outside? Or between now and no danger of frost, do I transplant into slightly bigger pots before I'm able to plant outside?
Yeah, it's a little early to have started zinnias, so I would say at this point, she's going to have to do a little coddling of those zinnias in order to before she can get them in the ground. So my experience has been that with the peat pots, it's hard to maintain the adequate amount of moisture without sort of getting into danger with different fungi.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation would be to up pot her zinnia seedlings that are in probably a smaller peat pot into a larger, maybe plastic container that she can recycle later, and sort of go that avenue.
Right. So, for people who want to start seedlings for their own gardens, what do you need? What kinds of materials do you need, and when do you start?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is the when, because if you start them too early, then you're trying to care for these seedlings and keep them happy and healthy much longer, than you need to. And if you're too late, then you're frustrated because, it's October and you still don't have any tomatoes. The best thing to do is just to make yourself a little calendar. There's a lot of online resources where you can just, even if you don't know your planting zone, or you can just type in your zip code and it will populate a seed starting calendar for you. But essentially, most of the calendars you work back from your last frost date. So, for example, here on the Cape, most people think of our last frost is around Memorial Day weekend. And so right now, in that cycle, we are about 11 and a half weeks before the last frost.
That sounds good, though, 11 and a half weeks with all this snow. So I would think maybe starting with some things that are easier, you know, so you have some success before you work onto the really hard plants. So what are some of the varieties of flowers and vegetables that are fairly simple and easy to germinate and grow?
I think, you know, it is nice to start with things that are easy, but I also think it's important to start with things that you like to eat or things that you want in your garden. Tomatoes are relatively easy to start, and but if you don't like tomatoes, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Although your neighbors
will be happy. So in terms of I think to be successful, a lot of the, you know, some seeds are so teeny tiny. For example, oregano is mind-numbing to, you know, sow and sort of get started, and it has a longer germination period. But the tomatoes and the tomato and basil, perfect combination. Basil's pretty easy to start. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes are easy to start. You can start a marigold, too, also easy. And then you have a perfect little, you know, companion planting for your garden.
Yeah.
Also peppers. Although they have a longer cycle. So those are, you know, those are the kind of things that you're more starting now, out 11 to 12 weeks before the last frost. But pepper, the seeds are larger. They're relatively easy to care for. Lettuces, super easy.
Yeah.
They're quick to germinate. They're not fussy.
Yeah. And you put them out a lot earlier than you get a lot of other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Some gardening catalogs sell specialized bulbs for growing plants, while others suggest simple fluorescent shop lights that work just fine. What are your thoughts on grow lights?
My thoughts on grow lights are, I like the idea of setting myself up for success. And I think while certainly you can use a standard shop light, I think you'll perhaps have healthier, stronger plants and be more successful if you use a grow light. The big difference is the kind of bulbs that they use. So it was daunting when I first started looking into it. It was like all these different letters and numbers and, you know, T12, T8, T5. But when you break it all down, it's essentially a function of, you know, the, for example, the T is just that you're using a fluorescent tube, and the 12 is the number refers to eighths. It's the diameter of the bulb in eighths. So, for example, a T12 is an inch and a half in diameter. T8 is an inch diameter. T5 is 5/8 inch diameter. And so the smaller bulbs are typically, I think the T5s are maybe 50% more efficient. Mm-hmm. So you have efficiency, you have also the output. And so essentially, as you get into the more sort of specific bulbs, they're wider spectrum of light, so the plants can utilize more of the reds for photosynthesis and more of the blues, you know, to help the sort of growth hormones in the plants do what they need to do. So I'm a fan of, getting a grow light. The ones that I use are the T5 high output. Mm. And also, when you get into a grow light per se, you can get them that have, you know, four bulbs per single fixture, or five bulbs, or eight bulbs per one fixture. So you're able to start, you know, more seeds in a smaller space, which I think is also sometimes nice for...
If you don't have a greenhouse.
If you don't have a greenhouse that you can move things up to.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. We're talking about starting flower and vegetable seedlings. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And I know there's a lot of people probably really anxious. It's like, you know, spring starts to come and you just want to get out there, and it's still too early. So, you know, we're looking at the gardening catalogs and, you know, thinking, what seeds can we start now? One of the problems I always have, I don't generally start seedlings because they get leggy and weak. And so if one doesn't have a greenhouse, which I did, but I don't, should we be starting our seedlings a little later than if you do have a greenhouse? I mean, we talked a little bit about when, but, you know, how do you keep them from getting all leggy and weak?
You know, I think one thing is, again, when you're, you know, most people, if you're working with grow lights, most of whether it's a stand that you built yourself, or, you know, if you buy some commercially available grow light stand, most of them are set up so that you adjust the light. Mm. So essentially, when you start the seedlings initially, you have the light only, you know, a couple inches off the surface of the seedling. And then as the seedlings grow bigger, then you just continue to sort of
raise the light,
raise the roof on the seedlings. Mm. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of people, when they sometimes struggle with, they just go for the sunny windowsill, mm-hmm. and the plants are always reaching.
Yes, that's me.
The plants are always reaching. But, you know, you can have pretty good success by just, you know, with a single light, you can fit a number of flats underneath of it. Mm-hmm. And if you just sort of slowly raise, you know, just slowly raise the light so that it's in close proximity to the plants.
And of course, it's very easy to get carried away whether you're starting seedlings inside or outside. The seed packets come most of the time with more seeds than you typically home gardener would need. So what's your advice in figuring out how many plants to start?
Well, that is an enormous learning curve. You know, I am guilty of over-purchasing from the seed because I get, you know, sucked into all the different stories in the seed catalogs. And so I, you know, for example, I think last year I grew maybe 200 or like 150 varieties of seeds. And this year I'm growing 250 varieties of seeds. But, you know, essentially you have to sort of think about, you know, how much space you have under your grow lights, you know, particularly if you don't have access to a greenhouse, because the plants are going to get bigger. You're going to be coddling them for a while.
So what do you really want?
Yeah, exactly. What do you really want? And, you know, for example, last year I, you know, especially lettuce, a lettuce packet comes with, you know, hundreds of seeds in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the sowing the seeds is very therapeutic for me, especially when it's like this outside. And so I got a little carried away last year sowing my lettuce seeds. And, you know, I had half a greenhouse full of lettuce, which was, you know, not ideal. But, you know, at this point in time, I'm much more methodical about, you know, what do I want to end up with? Do I want to end up with, you know, a 6-pack of lettuce? Do I want to end up with 2 6-packs of lettuce? Do I want to end, you know, how much of my bed do you want? And then, you know, add a certain percentage over that, just because you're probably not the first time around going to have 100% success with germination.
So even though the seeds are packaged for each growing season, mm-hmm. they can be saved, right, from year to year. So
Absolutely.
What's the best way to store them?
I usually put them in an airtight container in the refrigerator. And, you know, so whether that's in a Ziploc or inside a Tupperware. Oh. And I just have them on a, you know, shelf right next to the butter in the refrigerator.
Oh, in the refrigerator. Oh, okay.
And I have seeds, you know, probably at this point, you know, I try to stay within a couple of years, but I know, for example, last year there was a couple of varieties that I didn't order that I really wanted, and I sort of went back through my old seeds, and I had some from 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm. And they did fine.
And they did fine.
Yeah. We hear so much about heirloom varieties of flowers and vegetables. In your experience, are the heirlooms harder to cultivate than the non-heirloom?
I don't think it has to do with cultivation. I think the heirlooms are equally as easy to cultivate and or, you know, germinate from seed. But I think it's more of the sort of, you know, I guess care and handling as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. You know, the heirlooms, they were, you know, they were bred for their flavor mm-hmm. and predominantly. And they weren't bred because they could be packaged and store well and shipped across the country mm-hmm. in a box truck. And so they're more resistant to cracking, you know, for example, tomato, more resistant to cracking or something like that. So they might, and they're, you know, there's nothing pretty typically mm-hmm. about a lot of, you know, some of the heirlooms, like the fruit aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm. But they sure do taste good.
Yeah, they're so good. And so, you know, my experience has been that, you know, maybe they're a little less predictable, but it's worth it.
Yeah, it's
like
worth it, right?
In every way, shape, and form.
So once the weather and soil warms up, do you continue to start seeds indoor or do you start directly into the garden at that point?
I don't continue to keep things going indoors. Once the soil warms up, I continue to start seeds in heats, mm-hmm. but it's mostly sort of direct sown in the garden. And, you know, essentially when I put the, you know, I'll have my seeds that I started early, for example, like the long varieties that you have to start 12 or 10 or 8 weeks before last frost. So those just get started once. So the peppers, mm-hmm. the onions, the eggplants, the tomatoes. You start those early. They go into the garden. But then there's other things, you know, like the lettuces or the beans that I will, you know, I'll sow in heat. So yeah. I'll sow.
So you always have some.
So you always have some.
Yeah. And, of course, for those things that we have to wait until the frost, we have to wait till May to, you know. But there are things once the snow is gone. Well, I usually plant my spinach on St. Patrick's Day, and I'm really upset that I'm not going to be able to do that.
Well, that's so funny. Paul and I were talking about this last night that, you know, for a lot of people, they use St. Patty's Day, the beginning of the growing season. Well, you know, if you look out our window right now, it's
not gonna
highly
happen.
Unlikely that you're going to be digging in your peas on St. Patty's Day. Right. But yeah, as you said, there's some of the greens that are more cold hardy, like the spinach and arugula and kale. And certainly peas and also some of the root vegetables like radishes and carrots and those kind of things. You know, they're a little cold harder and they can go in early, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be
not going to be St. Patrick's Day. All right. So suggestions for plants or flowers that kids can germinate and grow successfully. So if you want to do something with the grandkids or your kids, you know, now what would you suggest? What would be some of the more easier things?
Yeah, we did a kids' day last year at the greenhouse, and we had Massachusetts Master Gardeners come in, and you know, we had them sort of do like make a pot and plant a seed, and you know, with kids you want something that is easy to handle, so the seed itself is large enough,
like a
sunflower seed, like a bean is perfectly easy, and even if you sort of step it down a little bit, radishes,
and you know what's fun too is kids who normally don't like certain vegetables, when they grow them, it's amazing how all of a sudden they become a fan of broccoli, right? Jen Irving from Jenny's Edibles and Blooms, thanks so much for coming and appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up after break, we talk about another important feature of the garden, pollinators, specifically bees.